So last week, a tremendous chiddush. Tal Yishuv over here, Das Tzitz Rochov, is building a ladder for Tikkun. After he spoke about the chiluk of Das Atzvenu, about the different koiches and midas that operate inside a person, he's building a ladder that a person climbs to enter into the world of Ruchnius, and eventually to merge the Ruchnius into his life. The first step we understood, you have to get out of bed, you have to fight atlas. You have to fight the shlita of the offer over a person. Because then a person is completely dominant, then a person is not in the world of Ruchnius Bechal. Second step was that a person took one step away from the Gashmias, a person fought atlas, fought kfedus. So then a person is going to meet up with the obstacle of pleasure, of Gashmias in general, of what gives a person pleasure. I want to stress what the Nekudin that is. The Nekudin that is that what you get pleasure from, or how much your hergish of pleasure is meshubed to Gashmias pleasures, is what's going to define your relationship with Ruchnius. So if you're sleeping and you haven't fought Atlas on any level, so then the Pshat is, you have no shaykhus to a Ruchnius world. You're completely dominated by Gashmias. That's level one. But if the person overcomes that obstacle and a person wants to begin to have an interaction with Ruchnius, so the second level that's going to define the level of your connection to Ruchnius is the level of pleasure. Why? Because since the Torah of the Bria was Lasani Gal Hashem Velenas Vizir Shinasai. So at the end of the day, if you think about it, the ultimate relationship with the Eibishter and Elul Haba is going to be defined by Lasani Gal Hashem Velenas Vizir Shinasai. It's going to be defined by that. The Mela in this world, in Elul Hazeh, your relationship with Ruchnius, how much you're going to merge with it, how much you're going to be comfortable with it, you're going to depend to a large extent what Tal Yishuv called shakua. How much are you sunk into? How much are you self-absorbed into the world of Gashmias? If your sense of pleasure, that's a definition of who you are, of which world you're in. A person Moshe could learn, a person could daven, but his sense of pleasure is completely given up. We're not talking about not getting pleasure from Gashmias. We're talking about what is your sense of pleasure mishubit to. And if it's mishubit to Gashmias pleasures, either only or mainly, so then that means a person is not connected to Ruchnius world. That's what it means. So those two things, which are fundamental definitions of how a person enters into a world of Ruchnius, how a person connects with Ruchnius, whether it's Torah or whether it's Hashem or mitzvahs, those make sense. You have to fight the offer, you have to fight the chilik of the offer that a person is composed of to get out of the damesh gash. That's one polar extreme. Then you meet up with Ruchnius, and you can have a struggle of where your sense of pleasure lies, where you're invested in far as searching for pleasure, your pleasure seeking radar, which is constantly seeking pleasure, because that's what you're created for. What is it seeking? And then last week he said a tremendous chiddush. Let's say a person more or less has worked that out. He got himself out of bed, he fought the atlas, he fought the kvedus, he fought the offer. He has control over the mayim. That means his sense of pleasure is more naita to Ruchnius than to Gashmias. By the way, Agav, I just want to say something again. Agav Orcha. That a person, what is this whole thing about? Why do we gather together every Thursday night? Come on, when I'm in the country, when I'm usually here. The Al Yishuv defined way back in Elul that the goal is to get to Simcha, which is a shtickle in Yonah Diyem. So might as well talk about it for a second. I'm talking about real Simcha, not the Simcha in Yonah Diyem. Simcha. What was the real Mishinichas Adam Marvin the Simcha? What's Simcha mean? Al Yishuv stole a vek at the beginning of this Maroch HaShlishis that the goal is to get to Simcha, Smach Bochur Bialdusacha, to get to a goal of Simcha. So, in the general picture, Simcha says the Maral means Shlemus. Shlemus means that the different forces are working in harmony. That's true. But if I had to put it, and the more a person merges with the world of Ruchnius, the more a person takes his Gashmius, the Kuchas, and drives and pleasures. And so there's Atzmos, and there's pleasure, and there's what we're going to talk about today, which is the Kuchas of Dibor, Sikha Batela, which we saw talk about last week. Well, that's true. But if I had to put a finger on the thing that most shteres a person's simcha and causes uneasiness and not comfortability, it's this inyan of the pleasure thing. What gives you pleasure? So you can have a guy whose fundamental sense of pleasure is shakua, we use the lashon halei shor in gashmias, and physical pleasures, and then he could be a big quote unquote Eved Hashem. He knocked the offer out. And he's up and he's active and he's involved. But he didn't take care of this pleasure thing. So Lamaisa, in the world of Ruchnius, he's never at ease. Because a person is driven by a drive for pleasure. And if your drive for pleasure is a physical pleasure, so then the Ruchnius Dika Sipuk, Ruchnius Dika pleasure we'll call it, is never gonna do it for you. And you're always in a state of unease. Always a state of unease. By the way, that's the answer why we're all uneasy. Because I'm saying Akasha to explain the Teretz. Why is our Elam uneasy? You take a look at it. Elam's on edge. Why is our Elam on edge? What's wrong? What's the problem? We made it to Parashat Zachar already. Shalat Toiva Mitzlachas. Abol Leinu L'Toiva. With a poor Mesholosh. And after that comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And some of you can, those who want to go home, can go home. And who wants to go home. So why is it all so edgy? That was edgy because they didn't resolve this issue. So they're in a tug of war. They want to do this and they want to do that, and their body wants one thing. So if you didn't take care of the Atzlos thing, by the way, the Atzlos people are not uneasy. Did you ever notice? They're not uneasy. They're sleeping. You're sleeping, they're not uneasy. And even if you're not sleeping, you're sleeping while you're awake. It's also, you know, the mind of the Atzelim is there very relaxed. You see a relaxed guy, either he's a big tzaddik or he's very lazy. Because the word is, the lazy guys are, they don't have a struggle. There's no mavak, there's no wrestling match. They're out. They're out for the count here in Zuck where we come from. His pshat is they're not uneasy. They're very happy. The calmest people are the lazy people, by the way. Think about the guy in Yedir, the lazy one. Day or night, Shabbos or weekday, he's always calm. Why? What's there to be uneasy about? Uneasiness comes because I'm a struggle. I'm rushing to get somewhere. I want to do something A and I want to have B, but the lazy guy is not in any struggle. So the guy, they call for Shetokim. Is he a calm guy? Zichr. Is he Menuchas and Nefesh Moiridik? As long as they don't ask, does he ever get out of bed? Because if he doesn't get out of bed, there's always a certain, you know that the guys who are always in the Dira are calm. It goes together. They're in the Dira because they're lazy. In the middle of there's no battle going, they have no struggles. You can be Makana then, by the way. I always Makana the lazy people, you know. They have Menuchas HaNefesh, they don't have any struggles, they don't have any battles, they don't have this endless tug of war between Toiv and Ra and the Guf and the Neshama. The Guf won the battle, and again, there was a knockout at the first round, even Zuckerbergs, and then the Guf won, and the guy nods his head and says, yep, you lost the battle, and he says, you can't fight all them, not Lebanese, and then they fight. So they don't have it. The uneasy people are group two. Group two are guys who want to learn. They're in the basement. They got out of bed. But they're uneasy because their goof wants to be somewhere else. The goof wants physical pleasure. And meanwhile, the Bate Midrashim don't provide physical pleasure. It provides a different type of pleasure. But physical pleasure doesn't provide. And that's where people are uneasy. So they're caught between these two polar worlds. And they don't resolve it and find some sort of balance in it. They can never be simple. They're always shaky, they're always pattering around, they always feel like they're in a tug of war, they're pulled this way, they're pulled that way. Menuchas and Nefesh they don't have, and simple they don't have. Came along Balei Shor, Perek Shlishi over here, and Alman Kuf Memhei, and said a Rizik Echidosh. He said that in order to enter into a world of Ruchnius, it's not enough that you get out of bed and you fight the offer. It's not enough that you took the mayim, the chaymer, and you gave it a tzura, like you spoke. It's not enough. It's not enough that the mayim give it a tour like we spoke. Is that enough? There's a new thing, shtika. What's shtika? It's a more tikazach, how far we are. It's a more tikazach, how far we are. Can't even sit back these days. Yeah, the terrible. There's a moritik of chiddush over here. I want to say, kama v'kama chiddushim. What does shtika have to do with going into Olam Ruach? Ad kidei kach, he says that the third element is ruach. We learned last week, shaking zachim from the goyin and mishlei, that tzicha b'teila is a ruach tumma. We look at tzicha b'teila, by the way, as at worst a waste of time. And the goyin calls it the ruach tumma, which is the opposite of Torah, because it's a negative force. But Alishur over here is saying a reason gechidus. Alishur is saying that shtika hatzaton with entering a ruchnius world. Now we understand getting out of bed, we understand. And we understand that fighting, we're channeling our sense of pleasure to the right thing. Why is shtika, which is fighting the thing called ruach, why is that a fundamental condition for connecting with Ruchnius? I'll say Tifa Zach. Halle, we're talking about connecting with Ruchnius. We're talking about entering a Ruchnius world. So, Atzel, I understand. Taiva, I understand. Because my sense of pleasure is not from Ruchnius. What is it? Raza. So, the pshat's like this. It's not Kufa, I made a mistake. It's Kuf Ein Zayin. Pshat's like this. It's a Tifa Zach. So, last week, So people who talk a lot, people who aren't quiet. Why is that a stira to ruchnius? You could say, because if you're talking, you can't listen, you can't absorb. But that wouldn't justify that this is one of the four nekudas of connecting with ruchnius. So it's wasting his time. It's an exterior zach. What's the word? We'll start from the top of the page. I guess I want to say a tifa zach. Gracious Rabbi Paragon out. Leia. Tofsa. Pelech Chedor. Leia, Pelech is the meaning of Pelech is like a knitting needle, really, but Pelech means the skill, the profession. Leia, profession was Haida. Va'andem men of Bali Haida Yehuda. Rachel tofsa Pelech shtika. Why? Because she didn't say, she didn't tell the, she gave away the simonim. All her children were quiet. Binyamin, Yeshpa, the Evan of Binyamin on the Choshen was called Yeshpa. What's Yeshpa? Yeshpa, he has a mouth. Yedem, Bechirasa, Shereza, Veinam, Magi, he doesn't say. Shaul, Hezram, Luchal, Higadli. Esther, Ein Esther, Magedis. Says Ali Shur, Shtika hi Pelech, Amonos mi Yuchad, Shein in a fellow, Amonos Haida, Shtika hi Yitzira, this is a Murder Gazach. Haida, we understand, is a skill, it's a profession. It's a proactive thing. Shtika l'chayr means a lack of talking. Why is it called a Pelech? Why is it called a skill? At Kedei Kach, that it was genetic. And they went over to the Shpeta de Gadaris, Esther, Yamin, Shaul. Talking means I don't talk. It's a skill. It's a proactive pelech. He says in the next line, "Ein hashtika rak head a dibur." Shtika is not just a lack of talking. Shtika mer sometimes shtika talks. He's a pasuk in Tehillim. Lacha to you the Hebrew dumia being quiet. Tehillah sometimes the praise. I want to read the next line and then explain it. That's what we're saying here. Nisha ein yadeh amonos hashtika. Somebody doesn't know the art of being quiet. Ein lo kosher chavaya. What a great modern Israeli word. Ein lo kosher chavaya. He doesn't have the ability to experience anything. Chavaya means to experience. Hu roye v'shamei advarim yofim v'amukim. He hears beautiful, deep things. Ad kedei zazua, shocking. Ve'en mizdazei, he never gets shocked. Why? Ki mochus l'daber. He's always reacting. He's saying, wow, that was a great shmuz. A bad shmuz. A person comes to a shmuz. A person hears a moi ridi kazach, shocking. Because we're always talking and we're always saying our opinion, so we never absorb anything. Chavaya, you never experience anything. I want to explain what this means. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ve'es snuim chachma. I'm going to explain the Yisoid here at length. This is a very important. Ve'es snuim chachma. People who are tzanua are wise. People who are tzanuim have chachma. Zakar ben Yena, what does it mean, people who are tzanua chachma? Tzanios is a dress code. Tzanios is how people dress. Tzanios is as people live. Tzanios is what you expose or you don't expose. Tzanios is chachma. Says Rabbi Yena in Mishnah in Pshat Hazeh. Let's say a person hears a vort. The Altafim Kelam wrote his son-in-law, Hersh, that he has a hargosha in Musa that he had 16 years ago, that he wants to share with him. Why 16 years ago? Because he was afraid that during the 16 years, if he would say it over early, he would lose the experience of it. It was percolating inside of 16 years. When he felt he was kind after 16 years, then he let it out. He didn't feel he would lose it by talking it out. Nafuki me. I don't wait 16 years when I have a good word to say. 16 months. I don't wait 16 minutes. If I have a good word to say, we spit it out right away. But that's why we never experience anything. So that being you know, such a tivazat. What's sneers? Sneers is a dress code. Sneers means that you have an internal world. You don't need to show everything off to everybody. What's the idea of sneers? Why do we cover up things? What sneers mean covered over? Because the pshat is, I have premiers. I don't need to show everything off. I don't need to expose everything. Have an internal world. Says Rabbi Yehuda, it's interesting. Rabbi Yehuda wrote about this 1,000 years ago. Rabbi Yehuda says, you hear something. Yeah. You hear a zach. If you right away share it with somebody else, because you don't have any tznius, you have no inner world where to put it, you're never going to have chachma. Because everything you hear is never koine shvisa, it's nechal. It doesn't have where to land. You don't have a shelf where to put it. Ve'es tznu im chachma. If you want to have chachma, if you want to have wisdom, you want to have das, you want to have sechel, that's what you want. You want to absorb it. You want it to become part of you. You want it to merge with you. You have to have tznius. You have to have an internal world. Now, people who don't have tznius, as the pshat is, their whole life is lived towards the outwards. That's a lack of tznius, right? What's tznius? Tznius means, as the pshat is, I have an internal world. I don't have to share with you. I don't have to share my clothing. I don't have to share what I have. I don't share my body. I don't share anything with you. I have an internal world. I don't need to share with you to the outside. A lack of tznius means I don't have any pnimius. I have to share everything with everybody else, otherwise it's not worth anything. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if you have tznius, if you have an internal world, then everything you hear, you don't have to spit out right away. You have to share it with everybody right away. Then you'll have chachma. Then you'll be kind of chachma. You'll absorb chachma. You'll experience chachma. It'll become part of you. And there's Rabbi Yehuda 1,000 years ago. It's now a shinyan of the yema. Today, every time we hear a vort, we hear a Torah, we hear a story, then right away, sends it out. So nobody ever absorbs anything. It's kabbalik kachpolt, it goes in one ear, it goes out the other ear. Because the person doesn't allow us, so the Alta from Kelm took 16 years to percolate inside of him until he felt that he got to a point that by spitting it out, he won't lose the effect that it had on himself. 16 years. We don't wait 16 minutes. And things don't percolate by us. Somebody once told me that one of the big Rosh Hashivas in America, I don't want to say his name, he's well known, when he started to say Shir, so he went to, they asked him to say Shmuzin. This is, by the way, a joke about me because I say Shmuzin. And unfortunately, it's true. So he went to his Rebbe, Shmuel Birnbaum, to ask him a story from a long time ago whether he should say Shmuzin or not. So Shmuel Birnbaum told him, you should not say Shmuzin. Because everybody in the world could do tshuva except for people who say shmuzin. They never do tshuva. Why? He said, how do people do tshuva? You go to a shmuz and you hear a good vart and you get a hisayrus and you absorb it and it makes you to be a better person. But people who say shmuzin, the minute they hear a hisayrus, they're right away thinking how they're going to merge it in their next shmuz. So it never percolates by them, and therefore people who say shmuzin can never do tshuva. They're stuck in Gehenna for the rest of Netzach v'tzachon. That's the price that we pay for saying shmuzin. So this is what Rosh Hashiva said, and the first shmuz he said over the story also. That you should get it out. The Altaf of Kelm understood that you have to absorb something, you have to experience it. So now we understand, my Rebbe Rabbi Isai, why shtika is a critical role in going into a world of ruchnius. Avada, you have to fight atzlus. Avada, you have to define what you're getting pleasure out of. And it's a fight. But at the end of the day, okay, so you have this guy who already did 50% of the work. He got himself out of bed. He has this pleasure thing worked out pretty much. Now, he's in the base medrash. Listen, he's game. He fought Atlas. He's learning, and he's not at unease. He's calm because he took care of that another thing. Now he's ready to absorb brokenness. He's ready to meet up with the Torah and avoid their misses. But he doesn't absorb it because he's busy talking nonstop. And that's a type. And at the time where he's ready, he's a cleat kibble to absorb the brokenness. He doesn't have any sneers because he's busy talking busy saying over everything he said. The Chavruta says a pshat. And while he says the pshat, he's already nodding and saying, you're wrong, you're right. Doesn't make a difference. Whatever you decide at that second. Listen to this. The experience of listening, by the way, is one thing. But he's not talking about the experience. He's talking about absorbing, of experiencing it, of taking it in, letting it percolate by a zach. You're in a zach. Think about it. Absorb it. Go it over. Let it become merge with you. If you're busy talking, if you don't experience the concept of shtika, mi she'eina yedea amonos ha-shtika, that's the craft called shtika. If you don't have an inner kosher chavaya, you can never experience anything. Right? So that's why, by the way, in the world that we come from, here a guy comes to shmuz, here you came to a whatever we call this a shmuz, whatever it is. Okay? Okay. So, on the weeks that I say bid, as soon as I finish, you turn to the guy next to you and say, oh, waste of time. Okay. Ridiculous. On the week that I say good, which happens once in a while, you turn a second and finish to the guy next to you and say, wow, Alfred was on fire today. Yeah. And now as you're saying, like, why do you have to say toiv, yofimoid? Aren't you absorbing what we said? Those, we should have an official moment of silence every time I finish, every week. It sounds very Harry-ish, right? I was just joking. Because the Ikra Klal and entering the world of Torah is not to be a Harry like all of you think, right? That's before everything. Now all the Harrys are getting insulted, and I didn't mean to insult the Harrys. I'm explaining again. I'm insulting the people who make fun of the Harrys, but again, the Harrys never thought that I'm making fun of the people who make fun of the Harrys, because they're Harrys. But Akhavonim, the Etzem, if we were like the Alta from Kelm, right? If we were like, how do we look at somebody who heard, who said a Hargosh of Musa 16 years, imagine a guy gets up at a Shever Brachas, and he says he wants to say a fart. He says, you know something? I'm going to say a fart that I thought of 16 years ago. I never shared it with anybody. I think it's right. Or he is socially inappropriate because he never was at a shower book since then. Nobody ever invited him to speak. That could be. What's up with this? The guy gets up after 16 years and says, I thought of something 16 years ago. Today, or what did you do? So the Rebbe says, what did you do the last 16 years? What were you doing with yourself? I was thinking about what? Absorbing. What? And then what? And now what? And that's why, by the way, in the distracted world that we live in, which lost the beauty of experiencing things, everyone's talking. So I get these ridiculous calls from hundreds of people that on the fourth day, a tragedy happened. What happened? For 10 minutes, it was quiet. A guy just called me. He went out for 7 hours, 6 hours, 5 hours, 4 hours. I tell everybody who goes out past 3 hours that since I know you well, and you don't have anything to say that makes sense after 45 minutes. So I want to understand what's after the 45 minutes. I'd say forget about 5 hours. I want to know hour number 2, 3. You don't have more to say. I'm being polite. It's not 45 minutes. I really mean 10 minutes. Or some of them never heard anything that made sense. 7 hours? And then out of the 5 hour date, the guy says there was 10 minutes of quiet. I'm trying to break my head to figure out what the guy said for an hour and 10 minutes. And he says, so why is that the worst sorrow that can happen, David? What, if you think about it, what's the worst sorrow that can happen on a mother? The kid going off? No. Yeramachra? No. Hanasa? No. The worst thing that happens on a date and there's 10 minutes of silence. Everybody around the Hajjim knows that, right? Why? Why is that, by the way? Tayom's afraid of shtika. Tayom's afraid of being with themselves. Ayelach Shefi, says Rashi in Bolokov, page Kofay and Ches, Kedarguma Yechidi. The word shefi means alone, and it means shtika. Because when it's quiet, you're alone. And when you don't have the art of being able to absorb something and let it percolate inside of yourself, what did the Alta Mekel do for those 16 years? You thought about the vart. You want to share with anybody? He was quiet during those 16 years? Yeah, he was quiet. He was alone. And we live in such a noisy world that if we're quiet for a few minutes, then we feel like we're dead. Yeah, you're quiet.
And what are you doing? You're quiet. They say that the Avraham Lapin, when the Biskarov came to Eretz Yisrael, the Avraham Lapin came to visit him in his hotel. Was Yontif. Came to Aliyah LeRegel, to the Rebbe, the Biskarov. Biskarov came in World War II. Avraham Lapin was here already. And Avraham Lapin walked in, he sat down and said, good Yontif. He sat there for half an hour. Didn't say a word. Biskarov didn't say a word either, for sure. And Avraham Lapin, after half an hour, picked himself up and left. He said, good Yontif again. Mr. Grof said to his kids, he says, they didn't know that there were people like that. What do you mean there were people like that? There are people that can talk without saying anything. There are people who exist without saying anything. There are people who have what to say without saying anything. That's the means of Pasuk of Tehillim over here. By the Ebishto, sometimes being quiet is called praising. Because your etzem existence. I mean, you don't have to always say that. I mean, what do you mean to say? He meant to say, I met a yid that I haven't seen who can exist without talking. I'm matching the other shop. What do you do without talking? How can you exist without talking? Shtika. Shefi, I'm alone. I'm with myself. I'm absorbing. I'm percolating. I'm living. I'm existing. I'm experiencing. And that's why this Nikud is crucial for a person entering into the Ruach Nizdika world. Otherwise, the Ruach Nizdika messages that we absorb, the Torah that we absorb, the Avodah that we absorb, never lands. It doesn't stay. It's not sustainable. It doesn't become part of us. Since we're talking about simcha means that it's permanent. It merges with our lives. That a person has to master the art of shtika.